last year we were doing a workshop for ARA with a group of young girls in school, and we were basically doing like a sex education course with them. And I think there was an 11 or 12 year old girl who, when we were talking about menstruation, said that, you know, when I got my period, I was surprised that my blood was red. I thought it'd be blue, because in sanitary pad ads, for the longest time, they used to pour blue liquid. Yeah, they wouldn't pour red liquid. So she thought that her period blood was going to be blue.
What the hell?
Hey, where are you looking? Can you guess what's cooking? I'm a booking you up for a sneak, for a peek. Baby, every week you're going to scream.
What the hell, Navya? Are entrepreneur, ye hai Navya. Kare baat khul ke, ye hai Navya. With a mom, with a nanny comes Navya.
Menstrual blood is the only blood not born from violence, yet we're the most ashamed of it. So this is a quote by Maya Schwartz, and one that I really like because it gets us thinking about why the hell we're so ashamed of talking about periods. Yes, I said the word period. Do you know what some of the other words are for this? Code red, Bloody Mary, Shark Week, Cranberry Woman, Massacre at the Y. It honestly sounds like I'm giving you some horror movie recommendations. I'm sure Mom and Nani are going to be amused, but we are going to ride the red wave today and talk about all of this. This has honestly been a conversation that I've been really passionate about for the last 2 years. I literally started an entire business just to talk about women's health and feminine health and destigmatize these conversations around women's bodies. And that's exactly what we're going to do in today's episode, which is coming up right after this short break. It's a good morning for me. I'm quite energized. I've had 3 cups of coffee.
That's very bad for your health.
Oh, well, health is what we're going to be talking about today. Women's health, which is...
so cheesy.
Yeah.
It's like the cheesiest segue ever.
I took the opportunity, okay? I saw it and I took it.
And I said it purposely.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, Nani.
Wow, what a team.
Yeah. Dynamic duo. We really are, actually.
We are.
Okay, well, as I said, today's conversation is about women's health, which is my... personal favorite topic, because that's all I've been doing for 2.5 years.
I don't think you yourself, being a woman, lead a very healthy life, but...
we'll talk about that later.
Yes.
But, okay, so let's talk about periods as our first topic of conversation. What was your first period experience like, Mom? Was it awkward for you? Was it difficult? Did you feel it was easy for you to talk about it with Nana?
Yeah, I mean, with Nani, I don't think I said anything to Nana. It was fine. It was not...
uncomfortable.
It was not uncomfortable. I think it was okay.
And what about you, Nani? What was your... do you remember your first period? And what Didu, and how was
that? Yeah, but it was, you know, because it was my grandmother. Hmm. Who realized that I've started my period, and she told my mother, and my mother this thing, and I discussed it with my father.
Yeah, I know, you keep saying
what is this about?
You had a very open relationship.
Yeah, so he said, he explained to me, and I said, oh.
This is what it means.
You know, he said, actually, it's very unfair to women that they have to go through all this. Yeah. If I had my way, I'd have a conversation with God.
Oh my God. That's also something we're going to talk about later, is how mm-hmm. biologically we are, you know, have to deal with a lot
Why?
More.
I mean, I really get very angry about that.
What? Yeah.
Why women have to go through so much
pain.
I mean, physical pain for everything that they achieve, and mental pain for achieving.
Yeah, which is true. But Mom...
it's a constant struggle
right.
for women, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
To survive a decent...
Yeah, I mean, that biologically it's biased, you know, because we have to go through pregnancy, menstruation, menopause. And it's not that all three of these are just physical experiences. It's also emotionally and mentally very difficult for women.
Yes.
It starts with menstruation, you know, when... you're becoming a woman, then you have pregnancy, then you have menopause, which is something that happens, you know, when you're middle age, and it's difficult. And I think actually not a lot of, I mean, menstruation still, you know, we started talking about a lot more, but menopause is a topic that's not really widely discussed.
And
we have a prime candidate sitting here who has a lot to say about that.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. So like I said, now we've started opening up about periods and talking about menstruation. Pregnancy, obviously, is something that's always been talked about.
I have many, many thoughts.
Please share them with us.
On menopause. Women in midlife, not just menopause, just general midlife, which of course, like one of the biggest events that happens to a woman in midlife is menopause.
Mm-hmm.
And as someone who is in that phase, midlife phase, it is very frightening because just everything is, it's out of your control. It's not something that you say, look, I choose to
go through
this. And menopause means a lot of things. You know, you lose hair, you start putting on weight. Also, there are a lot of other sort of, you know, conditions. You suddenly have mood swings, you have temperature control issues.
Really?
Because there's not enough information about it. There's not enough counseling for it. A lot of women lose a lot of self-confidence and it leads to a lot of issues, mental health issues, I'm quite sure. And no one helps you through it. No one explains it to you. You just have to grin and bear it. You know, and especially these days where there's so much emphasis on the outward appearance. Mm-hmm. Women want to look 20 till they're 80. And they want to have thick heads of hair. They want to have, you know, fit into jeans they wore in college. And because your hormones are all over the place, you can try what you like. Unless you starve yourself, your body is out of your control to a large mm-hmm. extent. And it's not just these superficial things. It's also things like, you know, like bone health. Indian women don't know anything about that. They don't know that calcium is so important for you after a certain stage, because our bones just go weak. We're infamous for this.
Yeah.
Your eyesight gets a little weak. Sometimes your memory's a little fuzzy. Today, for example, I thought I'd left my phone behind, but it was in my pocket. And I didn't remember this. You know, you leave things, you forget things. And in the middle of all this, you're trying to manage a job. You're trying to run a home. You're trying to handle, I'm assuming, some kids. Some women have grandkids by now, very young grandkids. Basically, you feel like you've just been put on the shelf. There is no regard for women after the age of 40, 50. You're just left on the shelf.
But
you feel because your main purpose, supposedly, which is, you know, being able to procreate, you can't do that anymore. You serve no purpose. And basically now you have to fade into the background. You have to start dressing in a certain way, very conservative, very, you know, sort of, you can't be bold or bright and you have to start behaving in a certain way and basically slowly just retire from life. And I think mm-hmm. it's disgusting and appalling. And why should women my age who have so much still to live for, give, be forced to do this? It's not something you choose to do. It's something that happens to you. It doesn't happen to men. They will never understand it. They will never understand it. And it actually angers me. And a lot of times, I'm sorry to say, my own children say it to me. If I'm in a bad mood and I shout at them, they say, oh, mom's menopausing today. That's not fair.
That's also a reason for shouting at us. You're like, don't irritate me, I'm menopausing.
No, I don't say that. But you guys say it all the time. And for you, it's a joke. But think about it. For me, it's like, everything is going south and it's a very it's a very insecure time for women, and there's no help, there's nothing, and this is like such a huge chunk of women in India. Think about it.
Yeah,
these are not women who are, you know, hapless people. These are women who are now largely working women. They're at the top of their game. Also, they're professionals. They have a mind of their own. They're spending money. They're the ones who handle all the money, and yet nothing for them. It's really upset. It really upsets me. Like, Navya, in India, are there any apps or are there any platforms for women who want to speak about?
Ara?
No.
What do you mean?
Women my age.
But we talk about
who are going through
menopause
and who have communities to speak about it.
But we talk about menopause.
Where you support people through it, because that's the only way. If you feel you're going through it alone and you look at everybody else and everybody is so now filtered. Everything is filtered.
I mean, we
and
do
you
talk
feel,
about
wow,
these
they're
things.
Looking great. But you don't know that they're slogging and eating like a slice of...
Yeah, but no one's going to put up the... You know, they put up their
no,
best...
No, but what I'm saying
front.
Is when you meet like, there's no platform where you can meet other women or where, you know, other women say, yeah, I'm going through this and it's really, it's just knocking me out. And every day is a struggle.
But see, I feel that, I mean, there is no platform, obviously, like that.
Actually, even when women meet their friends, because it's this so stigmatized, nobody ever wants to say how hard they're working to stay the shape they are in. Nobody. So everyone's like, yeah, no, I don't work out. No, just rolled out of bed and I look like this.
Why do women feel like
they have to be... I don't know. I do not know. It just baffles
me. Maybe
it's
our conditioning.
I think it's more in India.
Yeah, it's a conditioning.
It's not more in India. It's everywhere, Mama. Please.
I think it's actually worse. I think it's actually worse. And for example, that whole thing with Kim Kardashian losing 16 pounds to fit into her Met Gala dress. Oof. That was insane. I mean, I personally thought that was ridiculous because...
But she got called out for it.
Yeah, which is good.
People here don't get called out for it. You know, I'm sure people are starving themselves and they're like unrealistic body
Because they're making money off that. You know?
Yeah, but, you know, and it's not sending healthy messages.
So it's all about, again, commerce.
It's not sending a healthy message to young girls, and it's sending a very unhealthy precedent for women my age who will do themselves a lot of harm because there are a lot of vitamins, nutrients, etc., minerals that you need at this age to just deal with, you know, a lot of stuff. And women who are, you know, not eating or starving or binging or what have you are on all these fad diets, etc. It's, you know, nobody is exempt from it. Nobody sails through this part of life. At least, okay, you know, when...
You guys are just scaring me now. No, I'm like sitting
here
like, oh my God.
It's not scary, Navya, but it is...
Yeah, but I'm like, oh my God.
It's significant.
When
it's,
I get to
it's
that
a
age,
massive deal.
What do I do?
This is what I'm saying, that, you know, I asked my mother, I said, what age did you stop menstruation? She said, 50. And I said, and then what happened? She said, I was very happy. I said, why? She said, one headache off.
Yeah.
She never complained.
Okay, no, my other question is that when you were, you know, obviously going through menopause, both of you, how aware or involved were the men in your life?
Zero.
Not at all.
So they obviously don't.
Men, at least I don't think they ever discussed women and their problems.
No, so today you can very well tell like your brother, your son or your husband that, listen, I'm PMSing or I have like very bad period cramps, so I don't want to come to this party.
Yeah, all the time.
And they get it.
Yeah.
They get it and they like just like, yeah, okay, I understand. But, I mean, I don't think you can say, listen, I'm menopausing. Because it's not a definite it'll last 3 days and then it goes away. It's going to last for as long as it lasts. Some people, it lasts for a couple of years.
But I think only by saying it,
then women are a little worried because then if you're a little emotionally excitable, then everyone tells you, oh, you're a menopausal. You know, it's like a, you don't want that to be because then no one takes you seriously. They say, oh, she's crying because she's menopausing or she's angry because she's menopausing. It's always like that. It's like what they say, oh, you're PMSing. So
like,
you're
about this. Like if I was reading something where they were talking about women as world leaders and, you know, prime ministers and heads of state and how the number one critique that most people say against, you know, women being in positions of leadership is that, oh, they're too emotional. But actually, there was a study that came out saying that actually something that 90% of men and most world leaders lack today is emotion and empathy. And a lot of the problems that we face as a country or even globally is because of this lack of emotion and empathy.
Yeah, I read something once where they said...
And how women are actually better suited to be leaders in this period of time, like in the 21st century post-pandemic, because they're more emotional and it's actually one of our biggest strengths, not a weakness.
So this is something I read somewhere, that we've given men a chance to run the world and we see what they're doing with it, and maybe it's time you start giving women more positions of power and decision making and see what they do with it.
It's a nice quote. I have to speak on.
Well, you can use
women
some of these
and yes,
quotes.
It's a nice quote. Yeah. Yes.
I read it somewhere. I don't know where. It's not my original thought. I'm just telling you.
No.
Basically saying, look what they've done. Look where we are today.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's climate, whether it's wars, whether it's diseases, it's Literally end of days kind of situation. And maybe you should try now giving women a little hand at the top job and see if they can fix it.
Well, that's what
and,
I
but
mean,
there's another thing, you know, I read that they, when things are out of control, you know, even in like a, in a company or a multinational, when things are really at their worst, they always bring in a woman to sort it out. And then if it doesn't, then, you know, she gets the blame. It's a thing. Oh, it happens. So, you know, they, when things are out of, beyond control, and you have to change things around.
For women in the workplace, it's after a long time that, you know, things like period leaves and even having proper provisions for sanitary pads and things have just about started coming in, like in offices where, you know, earlier I'm sure, you know, they didn't even have sanitary pads in public toilets, still something that doesn't actually
but
happen.
It's all happening now.
Exactly, it's happening. But I doubt that that's something that's happening, you know, for menopause where, you know, you get leave for something like that. I don't think that's something that... Okay, but I'm saying that what do you think about period leaves? Because there's this whole argument about how...
But isn't that sort of null and void now if people are doing half and half, work from home, come into office twice?
Yeah, but when there wasn't
so if
the
you
pandemic...
Have, yeah, I think it's a legitimate thing.
But then
thing.
There was this whole argument about how on one side people were like, it's great that, you know, you're giving... period leave for when, you know, you can't come in physically because of cramps or anything. And then the other side, there was this whole thing of that, oh, well, you know, if women are not going to come in and not work, then why should they be paid the same amount as men? If
they anyway aren't.
In?
So I don't think...
Yeah, so there was like this whole thing that happened about period leaves and how there was this whole debate. So what side of the debate are you on?
Obviously on the side of period...
You should get...
Yes, it's debilitating. A lot of, I mean, not for me personally, but for a lot of women, it's debilitating. They have terrible cramps. Yeah. You're in a bad state.
I mean, different women experience it in different ways.
Yes, and anyway, you just want to lie in bed and eat chocolate and carbs and you just want to be left alone, not, you know, really try and wake up and do all this. And it's, and most women who are working and if they have families, it's just terrible because you're doing a lot of the heavy lifting and then work stuff and then you're dealing with this, which it takes a significant toll on your body.
I'm sure when you were working, Nani...
Oh, it was terrible.
It wasn't as...
It was really bad.
How
and
was
especially,
it?
You know, when we used to do outdoors.
For shoots.
Oh,
for
yeah, you didn't have vans and all in that time.
You didn't have vans.
So where
we
did you...
We had to change behind bushes.
Your sanitary pad?
Everything.
That's crazy.
Yes, it is crazy. There were not even enough toilets. How do you, when you're shooting outdoor on a field or on a mountaintop?
My God.
I mean, it was awkward. It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sorry for getting so graphic, but you used 3 or 4 pads.
Yeah.
So that, and you carried plastic bags so that you could discard one, put it in the plastic bag and put it in a basket so that when you go home, you can get rid of it. I mean, I remember when we were small and fortunately we used sanitary towels. We didn't have to use cloth or whatever it is. And my mother had kept a drum at the back of the house where we used to put and she would say that you should burn it.
Yeah, I mean, it's different now. I mean, now you have vans, you have toilets.
It was
have...
so, I'm telling you, that can you imagine sitting down when you have about 4 or 5 sanitary towels
on
you?
Right.
It's really uncomfortable. And then you didn't have the kind of sanitary towels that you have today. You just stick it on. Here was, you had to make a, like a belt with 2 ends, you know, and the towels only had loops made with gauze. So you had to put
that.
The tape through that. I mean, it's like, you know, tying something up like
it's like
this.
A diaper almost.
No, but diaper is not like that. Diaper, you just put a tape thing.
Yeah, but the, I mean, it's like the whole process.
It wasn't as easy as it was today.
It was really bad. And can you imagine? I mean...
Yeah, I know. The sun's horrible.
It was very bad. For a working woman, it was... I think... that one has to be, considering the kind of work that women go through, and we just, everybody is going crazy on mobile yesterday celebrating Mother's Day, Mother's Day. Did anybody even bother to know what their mothers have gone through? Or would they, if they are working in an office, as you said, that they are against women getting
period leaves.
At least give them off 1 or 2 days and ask them to compensate it when they are okay in some other way by extending hours of work or whatever it is. You can manage it.
Yeah.
But it's the mindset. It's the attitude. Yeah. Men have to understand this. And also women. There are other women who are not really as considerate to other women than they are not.
A lot of women are not considerate to other women.
They are not. And they don't even think about it.
This whole conversation of women's health is not, I mean, it's changing slowly, but
Very slowly.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Look who's in tandem today.
It should have been, at this time, you know, Navya, you're at your age, it should have been headlines everywhere.
I mean, we are talking about things that we experience. So obviously, we can talk about
in this time. I mean, it's a shame.
Yeah,
it's a shame. You're talking about progress. You're talking about looking and seeing and thinking ahead.
I mean, it's so bad that like last year we were doing a workshop for ARA with a group of young girls in school, and we were basically doing like a sex education course with them. And I think there was an 11 or 12 year old girl who, when we were talking about menstruation, said that, you know, when I got my period, I was surprised that my blood was red. I thought it'd be blue. Because in sanitary pad ads, for the longest time, they used to pour blue liquid. Yeah, they wouldn't pour red liquid. So she thought that her period blood was going to be blue. And
But
that's the point.
Nobody
that,
even educated us that a girl will start menstruating at a certain
time. Yeah, and I think it's...
I mean, nobody told me. I didn't even know. I was not even aware. Who do they educate?
I think it's not just the...
I don't know about here. But
I don't think it's just the responsibility of mothers and parents and families.
Exactly.
Also of our education system to have...
Our whole education system
like
is...
Well, anyway. I think it's important for us to have that in our education system formally, like an extracurricular thing, but a part of the curriculum, because it's important for not just girls, but young boys to also learn about this, because they have sisters at home, they have mothers at home. And I think, you know, Agastya has grown up to be sensitive to these things because we talk to him about it and because we're so open about it.
Yeah.
And I think probably because maybe at some point in school, we were taught about it. And
but why do you think that men take it for granted?
Because obviously they never physically had to experience
it. They don't have to go through
it. So they don't understand.
But sometimes you don't have to go through it to understand.
Maxing out on empathy, we wouldn't have half the issues we have with
them. But I would say that there are also men who are very sensitive to it and who do... It's not that they're all, like, you know, insensitive towards menstruation. There are men who
It's also no one ever talks about it. It was such a...
Taboo.
One ever talks about it. So how are they to even know? I don't think their mothers or grandmothers would ever discuss it. And
They wouldn't even understand.
For them, it's like a very bewildering kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, you feel, oh, what have I done? You feel... You know, you've done something wrong.
Yeah.
Why are you bleeding? And what? It was like a shock to me, of course.
But I think it's changing. There are men who are educating themselves about it and are sensitive to what women go through.
And it's so strange, you know, companies who make sanitary towels, they are run by men.
Most women's healthcare platforms in India are run by men. Most of them, which is...
It's an irony, nay?
I mean, yeah, you can look at it in two ways. But yeah, it is. Because, I mean, obviously a man wouldn't know what...
But I'm sure that they do it more because it's a business and not because they think or emotionally feel about it. I don't think they're feeling anything.
Yeah.
Well, they're obviously not looking at the menopause market, which is a very big one. And if only
it is a big market.
Supplements and all, yes. But
maybe it's my next business venture.
Yes, supplements... There's so many things. Hair care, skin care, counseling.
Counseling is very important. You know, it's so important, counseling today. I mean, I know that if you spoke to your family and said that, you know, I need counseling. Why? What's wrong with you? You know, there was a stigma to that as well. But I think that women need a lot of counseling to get reassurance.
Or even if they're part of like communities, I'm telling you, for me at this stage, listening to a lot of these podcasts and listening to a lot of women and them speaking about their experiences, it just makes you feel, okay, I'm not alone. And someone like me who has exposure, I can travel, I see, I'm educated, I read, I, you know, I listen to podcasts. I'm well informed. So can you imagine women who don't have access to that? And how frightening and lonely and terrifying it must seem to them.
Yeah, but I think also, I mean, we talked about how, you know, it's important for families to talk about it, how it should be in our education system, but also pop culture and, you know, it's important that they step up and they represent women of a certain age, or they are responsible
and
for...
And show them a little more realistically than just...
Yeah.
I'm seeing the most realistic portrayal of a woman in her 40s, 50s was Mayor of Easttown, Kate Winslet. Yeah. Where she was just, you know, she was without makeup, her hair wasn't done, she was in just baggy clothes, and she was most of the time a wreck. She was just eating, like, crisps out of a bag because, you know, she couldn't be bothered to make food. She was holding down a job, her kids were driving her mad. She was getting blamed for everything. And I thought that was such a relatable... I mean, obviously, I'm not some undercover cop or anything, but obviously, it was the most relatable portrayal of a woman in middle age. And it wasn't so bad. She was still attractive. And I love that they show that, like, the young man she's working with found her really beautiful.
Mm.
We need more portrayals like that. For to normalize that you don't have to look completely airbrushed and beautiful all the time. Every time you step out, you're not stepping out and waltzing down the street thinking I'm some... like attending a fashion show or whatever. It's important to look like this, and it's important to show women looking like this every now and again, because that is real life, and it is not, it is messy, and it is a struggle, and then maybe society will not have such unrealistic expectations. You have a woman and she's handling so much, and then her body's going through a change, and you still expect her to look polished and tipped up, and
I mean, there is a long way to go, but there is progress being made. It's
but
not
you
that
also,
not,
a woman, I mean,
individually not quick enough for my liking.
To decide that I am not going to toe the line. I am going to be what I am, what I'm looking like, what I'm feeling.
Yes, and then you know what those women get told? She's really let herself go.
Yeah, but then they
and
need
it's
to
not
block
said
the
as
noise.
A compliment, I just want to tell you.
Yeah, but then I think it's up to them to block out the noise and not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not
yes, but how about sensitizing people? Like today, you're not going to say, oh, you're so fat, or you're going to be a little particular about someone's skin pigment or someone's weight. So why can't you be sensitive about a stage and a phase of life someone is going through and not make them feel just really bad about things that sometimes are genuinely not under their control?
We as women stop giving a damn about what men and society have to say about our bodies, then
no, of
they'll
course
stop
there's
commenting
that.
About
no,
it.
No, of course there's that as well, but that's a bit of a pipe dream. It's not going to happen because so many industries work on women just being aware of, I mean, like the makeup industry, or the skincare industry is like, I don't know how many trillions of dollars worth. These are things that are there. They thrive on women not being happy with what they see in the mirror and achieving something that's like...
So we need to tell ourselves
so
as
no,
well.
So that'll never be a mindset. That'll never be, it'll never be promoted. It'll never be pushed. If you do, if you are that person, then you're an outlier, but it's never going to be the norm.
Otherwise,
how do you sell lipsticks and eyeshadows and foundation? And
you can,
mascara?
But I think
you
there's
don't,
nothing
you
wrong with that either.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm trying to tell you that there's too much economics behind women not feeling like they look like $1 million every day or not happy with what they see in the mirror. From shampoo to skin body lotion to whatever you put on your face to the way you smell, so it's not going to work.
Yeah,
trust me.
Either way, I think that it's progressing, but it'll get there with time. But yeah, there's a
you
lot
have
that
to make your own identity. You have to be an individual, and
I think you just have to block out the noise.
Also, a lot of people
very easy to say, very hard to do.
Yes.
Very easy to say at 24 that you have to block out the noise because...
Hey, there's a lot that we...
No, I'm just saying at 24, it's very easy to say that. It's not as easy to say that when you're 44.
Yeah, but there are... It's not that young
you're
kids
young,
are not...
You're young, everything, you're idealistic. Life hasn't given you a few tight slaps.
You have to also, you know...
No, it's
sorry,
easy to
you
say
can
that.
Also
you have
be
to
be an example who
no,
can
of course
be
you
away
can be
from
an
the
example.
Tribe. You
of
can
course
be,
you can. And there are many
you know,
women
there
who
are
doing
women
that.
Who will look at you and say, hey, if she can, why can't I?
I think we should take a break here, breathe, and then come back for my game. Welcome back to What the Hell, Navya. I think this is some great energy, so let's use it for our Bumble question game.
Oh, God.
That is my favorite part of the episode. Yeah. Okay, what is a funny alternate term that you've heard people use for periods or pads?
Pads, I haven't heard anybody.
No,
I can't bear it when people say chums.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Why do you say that?
I mean, when we were teenagers, it was called chums.
Chums.
I've got my chums.
But why?
I have no idea.
Because again, because people are embarrassed to say.
Yeah, but that's so weird.
But it's really not your friend. It's really annoying friend. But yeah, chums is something I cannot handle.
There was another term I can't remember.
What? Say?
There are many terms.
Say, since you know everything.
I mean, I don't know.
Exactly.
I can't remember, but there was another term.
Term for periods.
Yes. I mean, which you discussed with your friends.
People used to say, I've got my pee. And I'm like, what does that even mean? What, like, just say it.
What's and then,
the what do you mean,
say,
what
like,
does that
okay?
even?
Like,
yeah, so everyone knows. I've got my pee means, what do you think?
So
I've got
annoying.
A pimple.
Yeah, it could be a pimple.
You know, and you communicated with your girlfriend and said, please don't. This is not my time. Okay.
Yeah,
you've got your chums.
Oh my God, it really irritates me. Well,
I mean, I don't know how many people did that when my age, when I was young.
I feel like now people just say periods.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do.
It's like when I was growing up, there were many of these things. People would say, oh, your mama, I think you would say, your Sunday is longer than your Monday, means like your slip is showing or something like that.
Yeah.
I was just like,
well, anyway, thank you for today. Guys, lots to learn, lots to be aware of, lots to be sensitized about. So thank you.
And lots more to talk about.
And lots more to be done. For too long, we have kept these conversations behind closed doors. And as you heard in today's episode, I think it's important that we deal with this on our own and talk about it openly. I hope that today, through our conversation, it helped you empower yourself and those around you with more knowledge and informed choices. And I want to remind all of you that this is not just a battle that we need to fight on our own. We need the men in our lives to also be open and honest about it. And I hope that this episode helped you understand why that's so important. And I really wish all you fellow menstruators a calm and pain-free period. If you have anything more to add or share any of your stories with me, connect on Instagram at Navya Naveli Nanda. And on that note, I'll sign off on this one, but I'll see you again next week.